At the age of 18, St. Jerome went to Rome, where in 6 years he mastered Greek and Roman literature. He was baptized there, but left because of the distraction of Roman culture. For several years after 366, he lived as a monk near Aquileia, his hometown on the Adriatic Sea. He moved to Antioch in Turkey in 374. After having a vision of Christ's judgment, he withdrew for 5 years into the desert in Syria. He trained himself by prayer and fasting to obey God and studied Hebrew vocabulary and grammar. Afterwards, Jerome undertook biblical studies with St. Gregory Nazianzen at Constantinople. He was then fully equipped to launch his project of translating the scriptures into Latin. Over several decades, he translated most of the Old Testament and corrected the text of the New Testament. His edition of scripture called the Vulgate for 15 centuries was the benchmark of the translation of the Bible in the Western Church. Probably the most famous quote of this early Bible scholar is that ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. Paragraph 133 in the Catechism states, "The Church forcefully and specifically exhorts all the Christian faithful to learn the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ by frequent reading of divine scripture." To that end, Pope Francis has declared the third Sunday of Ordinary Time is to be celebrated as the Sunday of the Word of God. He wrote, "The day devoted to the Bible should not be seen as a yearly event, but rather a year-long event, for we urgently need to grow in our knowledge and love of the Scriptures and of the risen Lord, who continues to speak His Word and to break bread in the community of believers. Reading the Bible is not like reading any other book, and that might make us hesitant to start. In the Church's document on the Bible, it says, 'Sacred Scripture is the speech of God as it is put down in writing under the breath of the Holy Spirit.' The Fathers of the Council also wrote, 'Sacred Scripture must be read and interpreted in the light of that same Spirit by whom it was written.' That reading is guided by three criteria. The first, be especially attentive to the content and unity of the whole Scripture. Scripture is a unity by reason of the unity of God's plan. Scripture reveals the heart of Christ. If there seems to be a conflict within Scripture, the conflict is with our understanding, not a conflict within the Word of God. Secondly, read the Scripture within the living tradition of the whole Church. Sacred Scripture is written principally in the Church's heart rather than in documents and records. This tradition is inspired under the action of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, be attentive to the analogy of faith. By analogy of faith, we mean the coherence of the truths of faith among themselves and within the whole plan of revelation. The key to the interpretation of all Scripture is the living Word, Jesus Christ. These criteria can be illustrated looking at our first reading today. In the story of Jonah, we heard this line, "When God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, He repented of the evil that He had threatened to do to them." What does it mean that God repented of the evil that He threatened? Does God change His mind? Are we able to cause God to change His mind? Was God wrong about the people of Nineveh? A yes answer to any of these questions has been judged by the Church to be a heresy. Why then is it in the Bible? By considering the unity of Scripture, the tradition of the Church, and the analogy of faith, we can achieve a proper understanding of passages like this. These criteria teach us God is all-knowing, all-loving, just, merciful, and infinite. God cannot be surprised or persuaded to change His mind. He does provide opportunities for humans to participate in His love, justice, and mercy. God does not literally change His mind, but provides an opportunity in which the people of Nineveh change their ways in order to join them to the ways of God. In our gospel today, Jesus extends an invitation for us to change as well. Jesus proclaims, "This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." He calls the first of his apostles. There's something special about his invitation that causes them to leave behind their way of life and their family in order to follow him. They're able to do this because they recognize in Jesus their Lord, their Savior, and their God. Jesus invites us to do the same. To repent as Jesus proclaims means that we obey him totally because he is our Lord. We put all our hope in him because he is our Savior. And we adore him alone because he is our God. Our primary concern becomes our relationship with him. Everything else in our lives becomes connected to us through him. Our relationships with others and the created world is enhanced through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Believing in the gospel is more than agreeing with our minds. Believing means conducting our lives in the way that shows we believe. Jesus sends his Spirit to be with us in order to enable us to live this new life. The story of Jonah shows how difficult that way of life can be. Jonah did everything he could to avoid doing what God had asked him to do. This was because the people of Nineveh were living in the city that was the capital of the country that was attacking Israel. So they were his natural enemies. After God spared the people of Nineveh, Job became angry with God. He prayed, "This is why I fled at first toward Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in kindness, repenting of punishment. So now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." If we believe in the gospel, we must believe all of it. We cannot pick and choose. Pope Francis has asked us to use this day to begin a year of prayer with the Bible. If you have never done something like this, then begin simply. This week, open your Bible and read the whole book of Jonah and the whole Gospel of Mark. These are both relatively short books. Remember as you read the three criteria, the unity of the Scripture, the tradition of the Church, and the analogy of faith that is Jesus Christ. Pray to be inspired by the Holy Spirit as you read. If you do not have a Bible, then I can recommend ones that we sell in our gift shop. There are many sources online as well. The USCCB website and the Amen app, which you can see in a gathering space, how to sign up for that. Many Bible resources have helpful introductions that you'll also want to include in your reading. Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. In the sacred books, the Father who is in heaven comes lovingly to meet his children and speaks with us. God has provided us with the Scriptures so that we can be certain when we get to our final exam, it will be an open book test.